The following program is intended for mature audiences.
There's been an awakening. Have you felt it?
Heed my words. It is I.
You've waited all year to see heroes fall.
I will find you, and I will kill you.
Great moments are born.
These armors change the world.
We really don't know what we're dealing with here, man.
Who will stand high upon the mountain?
I am not leading this fight as a matter of aesthetic pleasure.
What entity will triumph above all?
I'm the goddamn Batman!
This is the Glorious Tournament of Victory!
Welcome to the 2017 Glorious Tournament of Victory Selection Show.
Yeehaw.
Round of applause.
Woo!
As we were talking off the air, guys, believe it or not, this is the fifth Glorious Tournament of Victory. Five already.
Do we need to have a logo where it's the GTOVV?
Oh, man. That'd be pretty good. Somebody want to do that?
Or maybe GTOV, but the V is gold.
Yeah. What is the... go ahead, Andy.
We should just like just standardize it, actually, so it's the same logo. We just add like a Roman numeral to it every year. That way it's totally devoid of personality or flavor.
We put the arena it's contested in the background.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, it's just a giant silver chimpanzee.
Where is the championship?
Well, because it's been a belt, right? The GTOV, isn't it a belt?
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course, belt. Mm-hmm.
We do need to commission somebody to design us like some actual this crappy trophy of some kind. Like, I mean, I get a belt is fine. I'm cool with a belt. But I feel like it would need like ornate, you know, chimps. These represent. It needs to have the good winners etched into it somewhere or something.
Well, we've got a version of the belt, but it's out of date now because there's only four championship little like badges, whatever you call it, on it.
Okay.
And it's full, so we need a new belt already because we need to put a fifth one on.
We almost need a Stanley Cup type thing to where they're like etched into the side of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea. We should put that on the board. Somebody will come up with it, I promise you.
Right. No, absolutely. See, just a
bigger belt buckle every year.
Come on, minions. Do it. Do it.
Yes, we need a trophy. What else?
A belt.
A logo.
Logos and
theme song, national anthem.
Oh man, yeah. So just all of that stuff, and of course we expect you to do all of it free. So there's that too.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so here we are coming into the. Actually, it's my first year as defending champion with the Chimp Mariachi Band. Finally coming through for the Chimp Conference last year and winning the whole thing.
I believe Mike is the only one still on the Schneid.
Yep.
That I am, but I think I've got some real contenders this year, so we'll see how that shakes down.
Two goddamn Batman victories, followed up by, I believe it was the...
Teddy Roosevelt Astride of War.
Teddy
Roosevelt. Yeah.
That's right.
And then Chimp Mariachi Band, which I honestly was a little surprised that they made it all the way through to the end, because there were very strong contenders that I really thought they wouldn't get past.
That was the year the Cavs won the NBA championship, and the Cubs won the World Series. So the Chimps finally getting through and winning
but
it was just.
If you go back and look at it, Chimp Mariachi Band started that whole thing. They were first, and then St. Louis finally got past Chicago in the playoffs. The Sharks made the finals. Cavs won the championship. Cubs won the World Series. So Chimp Mariachi Band started this whole thing.
So who did Chimp Mariachi Band play for the championship?
I don't remember. I can find out really quick. You guys kind of like Phil and Vamp, and I'll dig it up real quick here.
Let me open up the GTOV wiki.
He'll open the archive here.
Yeah. And again, if somebody wants to, you know, commission themselves a Grand Tournament of Victory Wikipedia entry, go for it.
We're not going to stop you.
I feel like as if we need to like have a collage, like a Sarah McLachlan, I Will Remember You montage of like, all of Mike's most dismal like entries that like you would logically have gotten very far but failed.
You know, I think it was the first or second year I actually started putting together a video to the one shining moment from the NCAA tournament of all the contestants, but I couldn't find enough of. I wanted to do the whole thing, but there were a few of them that you just could not find a way to put into picture form. Right. And that's what stalled it. But I was going to do it. I had it all planned out. And
I'm still hurting after Teddy Roosevelt astride a war orca took down Cosmic Turtle. Cosmic Turtle was going to be my ticket.
Yeah, that was probably your strongest one.
Well, what about Jupiter? Wasn't Jupiter?
Jupiter got knocked out in the first round.
Jupiter was my first ever number one seed, and I believe he lost to that cursed Colonel Sanders statue.
Yes.
No, Jupiter was my number one seed.
Was he your number one seed?
Yeah, and it went down to, I forget, something ridiculous like the potty squatty or something knocked it out in the first round.
I feel like the Jupiter one was probably the most dismal upset. Like, it was one of those things where it's like, you've got to be shitting me. An entire planet with like this incredible gravitational pull. And I mean, it's huge and its scale is unprecedented, yet it loses to, like, you know, the sriracha sauce or something, you know, like,
well, I don't want to give too much away about my bracket, but okay. The large planet division is going to be out for vengeance 5 years later.
By the way, guys, just to get back to the original point, Chimp Mariachi Band beat Helen Keller astride a Dilophosaur last year in the championship round.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Andy,
I think you've made the championship match every year, haven't you?
Yeah, my abominations tend to sort of go. I have no idea why, but, you know.
The real travesty last year was your Dilophosaur riding Helen Keller beating the BB-8 lighter, which I won't let that stand this year. That was just a horrible injustice that was committed against an adorable little rolling robot.
I feel as if Left Shark is also like...
Left Shark got screwed too, I always thought. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like last year, just some of the matchups from last year from the round of 16. We had Courtroom Sketch Tom Brady taking on Tone Deafness emanating from DraftKings and FanDuel. George Lucas's bitterness over the Force Awakens success against Andy Trump Bald. Andy Trump Bald Eagle, I thought, would go a long way, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
BB-8's Thumbs Up Lighter versus Stripes last year. Oh, Chip Mariachi Band beat the ghost of soccer ref Cesar Flores. I forgot all about him. That was a pretty good entry.
I feel as if last year was one of those things where the championship was decided in the Final Four. You know, like, I feel like Chimp had to beat somebody real tough to get into the championship, and it was almost
Andy, your region was called the Admiral's Self-Esteem region last year.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because I think before that it was the Victoria Gooner Memorial.
Right. Yeah, yes.
So, Admiral. Yeah,
2 years ago it was Chimpanzee Riding on a Segway was defeated by the Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah, I know the Chimp Conference has made the Final Four every year, but only the championship twice. Last year in the round of eight... Chimp Mariachi Band beat Internet Rage, number 8 seed. Courtroom Sketch Tom Brady went up against Andy Trump Bald Eagle. The New Orleans King Baby Cake, or King Cake Baby, remember that one?
Yes, it did.
This is one of my favorites, too. Another surprise here. Vice President Joe Biden with knife hands lost to Helen Keller. I don't understand how these things happen.
Well, that's the voting, man. That's why we have the people chime in.
Right. Okay, so the 2 years ago, Left Shark, which it did make the Final Four, but it lost to the Chimpanzee on a Segway.
Chimpanzee on a Segway was a pretty tough competitor, man.
Yeah, but Left Shark has lived on to be a much more memorable contestant.
True. This is true. No argument there.
I feel like with the Chimp Conference, though, like, they were always waiting for the one that would come out and be like the real, like, that would sort of represent, you know, which one is it? Is it going to be like, we had a chimp in a car, we had a chimp on a Segway, you know,
chimp,
it
was bartender, astronaut, chimp.
Bartender had a great run. It didn't make the championship.
Yeah, it might have. Yeah,
I think so.
I think he lost to the Batman, the goddamn Batman.
Yes.
But I mean, like, I feel like, you know, it was just like inevitable. Everyone's waiting and waiting and waiting. Like, come on, which one will do it? And finally, of all things, a mariachi band.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. And what we found out from the Chimp Conference last year was that it's not about the individual. It's about the team.
Exactly. And you'll see that again this year. It played out again this year. But what was very interesting this year about the Chimp Conference is that friend of the show, Atomic, brought this entry to my attention about a year ago and said, keep your eye on these guys in the Chimp Conference. And sure enough, he was right. So I got to give credit where credit's due. But
I think didn't we have some sort of red-assed?
Oh, red-ass, inflamed red-ass chimp. He was an entry a few years back. I don't remember which season, but yeah.
Yeah.
God, we're 5D. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. It's silly too. Like, the whole thing is inherently silly, but the fact that we can sit here and like have serious discussions about the quality of opponents and past matchups, it's like,
yes.
It's become its own thing.
Those were the days.
Well, and then the whole thing start. Basically, Andy made an offhand comment way back in like the first year of the show, and he's like, "Yeah, my roommate and I are a friend of mine from work. We used to do this silly thing because we were talking about the NCAA tournament, and we went, wait a minute, we have to do this."
Yeah,
and it was born like right on the spot. There was no planning, no anything. It just happened.
We just had, my old really, really, really awful job, we would just basically sit around and do phone calls. And when we were in between calls, the phone would just ring and ring. So we would just put together these stupid brackets just to vote. And these were people who had never watched sports, didn't care. So we would just do tournaments based on just whatever. And like, I think the first year it was the championship was Optimus Prime versus Bounty Paper Towels. And the paper towels won. So like that was just sort of just like the offhand idea from years ago, but I never thought it would get to this level. And honestly, this is so damn fun. Yeah. Like I spent, I don't know, 45 minutes putting this thing together. And I think everyone kind of, either puts in 5 minutes or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's just at some point what's going to happen is we're going to look at these matchups and just be like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? Like, how do we decide? And that's the best part. I love when the matchups are so completely absurd. By the way, are we voting on round one today?
I thought we did. Last year or the past 2 years, we started with we let everybody vote in each round.
I think that was only a 1 year thing. Traditionally, we
2015's got us at rounds run at 1 and 2 here. Mm. Oh no, you know what? Last year was the first year that we did the all the way through voting. So it's up to you guys. Either way, it's easier for me if we vote the first round ourselves.
Yeah, I always like doing that.
Yeah, I prefer to do the voting. That way it kind of like, I feel like last year we did online voting. You have to like wait a week between rounds. And by the time you're done getting to the end, like March Madness has been over.
Well, not only that, but if we do every round, then we have to split it up in between shows, which kind of throws everything off because we have to have a round end and another one start without a show to explain what's going on. So, yeah, let's go back to the old way where we decide the first round and then let the fans take it from there.
That's fine.
All right. So should we get started then and do the brackets here?
I can roll, man. I'm ready to go.
All right. Who wants to go first?
Well, before we get going, I want to make, for the fifth year running, Glorious Leader Kim Jong-un of North Korea has won the Glorious Tournament of Victory.
Yeah, he's on an incredible run back in North Korea. He's won this thing to the point, he's dominated to the point where they don't even watch it anymore over there. Mm-hmm. And I have speaking of the voting, too, a quick announcement on the voting. We normally would count the votes in the thread on the CCSLC boards, but that's kind of a pain in the butt. So this year, all votes will be done via the Monkey Survey site, and you can still post all your reasoning, your votes, everything else, but the only ones I'm going to count are the ones that come in on the survey site, because it's just ridiculous for me to sit there and go, okay, that's one, scroll down, that's two.
We encourage you to post your reasoning, too.
We encourage it, but just remember that to get your vote to count in this most important event, you must go to the online site to do it. And with that, so who's going first here?
I don't care. I'll go first this time.
All right. Well, hold on. We're going to come back then with Andy. And what are you calling your region this year?
This is the Bill Paxton Memorial Region.
Oh, nice.
We lost Bill, unfortunately. Game over. Yeah. So I felt like it was just in good taste to give him my bracket this year.
Get things started. Here is the Bill Paxton Memorial Region. Take it away, Andy.
All right. So the Bill Paxton Memorial Region, very, very cluttered region this year. A lot of different conferences came out strong. Now, 2016, very, very good one for the Sinking Depression Conference.
Oh, wow.
2016 was just a god-awful year. And so they are very heavily represented. We also got to give props to representatives equally from across the Classic Arcade Fighter Conference, the Music Potpourri, Weaponized NFL Apples Conference was also represented. Absurd Quantities of Food Conference got a couple appearances, and a surprising, we have a really interesting 8-9 matchup from the Things People See After Snorting Bath Salts Conference.
Wow. You know, we haven't seen anything from them. They've been an up-and-comer, though.
So let's go ahead and start with the number 16 seed here, representing the Meme Conference. Number 16 is Dat Boy, Oh Shit, What Up?
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Bike riding, a unicycle riding frog. And that is the number 16 seed.
I never got that. I never understood where it came from, what its meaning was, what its appeal was to people. It came and went and memed, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, you know, it's the 16 seed. It just kind of just showed up. I mean, hey, what up? You know, there it is. Number 15, this is from the Music Potpourri Conference, is a boombox that plays only Taylor Swift's Shake It Off, comes in at number 15.
Oh, man. That's one
stronger than you think.
I think it's
Dante's
a sleeper.
Circles of Hell, isn't it?
Number 14, the first representative from the Sinking Depression Conference. Number 14, the Sinking Depression After a Roman Reigns Victory.
Oh.
I think our wrestling fans would appreciate the sadness that follows after Roman Reigns wins.
I'm not even that big of a WWE fan. I don't like it when he wins.
There you are. Yes, I think it has a way to build bridges to the casual fans here. So number 13 here is one that if it is in one of your guys' conference or your guys' brackets, please let me know. I can replace it. Number 13, of course, 2016, we must remember Harambe. Harambe is number 14. Does anyone have Harambe?
No, but I almost did.
No.
Zach?
I think we're good.
No Harambe is over here.
Okay. Harambe won a very, very key matchup there towards the end of the Meme Conference Championship over Crying Jordan. So I got to give credit to Harambe for putting up his Monkey Dukes and surviving on to the tournament here. Number 12, the combined power of Adele and Sia's singing voices coming in number 12. So imagine I'm sort of giving them like a tag team here to just sit there and just belt at people for as long as they wish. Number 11, this is the first representative of the Weaponized NFL Assholes Conference. Number 11, this is Tom Brady in a Nazi jetcopter.
Ooh.
In a Nazi jetcopter. A jetcopter is a real fucking thing, so yeah, look it up.
I think that it's going to be interesting to see if the Tom Brady hate plays a role in this.
We'll see.
That's a powerful entry.
And I swear to God, I just ranked these according to what I felt, and the first round matchup he's got is amazing. And it wasn't planned. Number 10, also from the Sinking Depression Conference. The Sinking Depression After Shattering Your iPhone Screen.
Oh.
Number 10. Sinking Depression After Shattering Your iPhone Screen.
Yeah, that's real.
That's a real terrible feeling.
It really is.
It's like damn it.
Carries over to iPads, too. I dropped my iPad last year and just busted it all to hell. It still works,
I put iPhone there, but I feel like for like any kind of mobile device really applies to that situation. Okay, now the 8-9 matchup. Now this is the Snorting Bath Salts Conference. This is kind of weird, so bear with me here. Number 9, a giant anthropomorphic eggplant that shits grenades.
Oh, God.
Number 9, a giant anthropomorphic eggplant that shits grenades. Number 8, also from that conference, so only one can survive, I guess. A giant anthropomorphic candy corn that shits Molotov cocktails. So essentially, you have a giant candy corn versus a giant eggplant, and they both shit explosives.
This could be an explosive matchup, right? Okay.
Jesus.
Number 7, from the Classic Arcade Fighter Conference. I'm curious to see how far he'll go. Very simple. It's Goro, folks. Goro Mortal Kombat makes an appearance, the four-armed weird creature. The second to last boss in Mortal Kombat, he is in the tournament.
He's also a pain in the ass.
He is a son of a bitch, yeah. Number 6, the other entry from the Weaponized NFL Asshole Conference, who will take on Tom Brady in a Nazi copter, Bill Belichick in an ironclad warship.
Ooh.
Bill Belichick in an ironclad warship.
Not to tip my hand or anything, but I'm going to lean towards Belichick in a in an ironclad warship.
That's going to be, you know, that's the one, though. That's the nice thing about this matchup is Patriots hate can't swing it. I mean, it can, exactly. But it's not going to swing it, like, ridiculously one way or the other.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, again, it wasn't planned. I just sort of just ranked them, and I put the matchups together. It was like, oh, it was meant to be.
Yeah, Tom Brady's hair is going to get in his eyes.
All right, number five. This is the, oh boy, the Sinking Depression Conference third entry. This one gets me. It's the Sinking Depression of Remembering Robin Williams Killed Himself. Remembering Robin Williams Killed Himself.
Oh,
I mean, see what I mean?
Yeah. Oh.
Guys, I mean, Jesus, like, it's a sad thing. It's awful.
I was just watching some of his stand-up on YouTube not 3 days ago. Now you remind me that he's gone and that he killed himself.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's okay.
Like, I mean, again, you know, like, it's like, damn, dude, that's so sad.
It is.
You never had a friend like me.
Oh. Number four from the Classic Arcade Fighter Conference, Guile. Guile makes an appearance, so I'm curious to see. His theme goes with everything. I want to see how far he can go.
Now, is this Guile? Is this classic Guile, or is this Jean-Claude Van Damme Guile?
No, this is like from the arcade.
Oh, okay.
Not from the movie. Forget that. Now, this is number three is the first one I thought of, and I have no idea how it's going to work or if it'll even go very far, but I felt like the seating was appropriate. It's from the food conference, I guess. Absurd Quantities of Food Conference. Number three, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich the size of Maine. A peanut butter and jelly sandwich the size of Maine.
Is it the shape of Maine or just the size?
It is like, I mean, it's a square.
Okay.
But it could fit over Maine. So however big Maine is, just square it. And that's the size of the sandwich. So part of it's going to be, you know, in the ocean. So
some of it will be a little soggy. Some of it will be covered in maple syrup.
You know what I would like to see with that? I would love to see that take on a group of stoners from Colorado. That would be a really cool matchup.
I'm curious to see. I want to hear the logic of how that plays out as it goes through the tournament, you know. Number two, this one is a dark horse. The Sinking Depression Conference is number one entry here. Number two overall, the Sinking Depression of Living in Trump's America.
Oh.
Ooh. That resonates with pretty much everyone these days, I believe.
Right, so I felt like, you know, let's see what happens here, folks. I know it's not fun, but again, it's the Sinking Depression Conference. They're here to ruin stuff, you know. It's not great. And number one, it's not, you know, it's not the most terribly exciting or hilarious thing in the world. It is two words, very simple concept. Number one, endless tacos. Endless tacos.
Mm.
I don't know how or why or what. It's just an infinite quantity of tacos. It is infinitely replenished. Yeah, so that's the number one seed. I don't know how or why, but it is number one.
There you have it, the Bill Paxton Memorial Region. All right, Zach, take it away.
Of course, this is the goddamn Batman Memorial Region, based on the two-time inaugural winner of the Glorious Hammer Victory, the goddamn Batman. Number 16 seed, kind of obnoxious. Could be nice depending on your flavor. It's the smell of eucalyptus.
Huh.
Number 15 seed, you know, from the nostalgic snack conference, cinnamon graham Dunkaroos.
Ooh, I love those. That's a low seed, man.
Well, we'll see.
Right now.
Dunkaroos, you know, little graham crackers, put them in the frosting. Great. Let's see. Number 14 is the Maple Leafs logo butt. In the new Maple Leafs logo, of course, at the bottom, there's a butt that is formed with the lines.
I'll look this up.
Yeah.
There's a butt in the Maple Leafs logo. You just got to look for it. The number 13 seed, the TV Guide channel.
Oh.
That's a strong seed. I forgot all about that damn thing.
Yeah.
Hey, the TV Guide channel, no joke, is the home of TNA Impact Wrestling.
Do they still do the other thing where they play programs while the guide runs underneath?
They no longer do the guide anymore. But I'm thinking of the TV Guide channel in its classic sense with the scrolling guide with a program also running at the top of it.
Yeah.
But now it is, the TV Guide channel is like a legitimate channel. It just does content. There is no more guide. Okay. But it's a thing still.
Cool. I do see the bot in the logo. You're absolutely right.
Yes.
Okay.
Number 12 is an overhead projector.
That's it? That's a good... Okay. Yeah. That's more in the original spirit of the Glorious Tournament of Victory kind of thing.
So, you know...
Kind of throwing back to the original there, yeah.
Is there a somewhat loud hum if you're sitting next to it?
Yeah, somewhat loud. You know, I kind of waffled between the overhead projector and writing on an overhead projector, but I just went with the overhead projector.
I think you made the right choice, and I will say that that hum is not only loud, but I think in some ways reassuring
yeah.
in the classroom.
Number 11, I think this is going to be a first in the Glorious Tournament of Victory, but we have a three-way play-in game.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Now, because of a movie from the previous year, a movie that's coming out this year, and a movie that was announced to be coming soon, I decided to take kind of a spin on the career of Harrison Ford, and we've pitted against each other old Han Solo, old Indiana Jones, and old Rick Deckard of Blade Runner, which is they're doing a new Blade Runner coming out this year.
Really?
So classic Harrison Ford characters, but the old versions of themselves.
Oh, to me, I think it's easy. It's got to be old Han Solo, if only because I feel like old Indiana Jones and old Deckard are entirely irrelevant, whereas old Han Solo proved that, yeah, he could still work in a movie.
I'm going with that. I think Mike's right. The old Han Solo is, of the three, the best. Old Indiana Jones was basically just there for Shia LaBeouf to kind of...
Yeah, but they are making an Indiana Jones 5.
Kidding.
That was announced last month. Yeah.
So he wanted to kill off Han Solo, but he doesn't mind dragging Indiana Jones back out again.
Some reason, yes.
Okay.
The only thing I can think of is that probably Deckard is going to die in Blade Runner. Han Solo died, spoilers from whatever, 2 years ago, and Indiana Jones lived. So really, of the three of them, there's only one that's still alive. But I mean, I can't vote against Han Solo, you know, certainly not for Deckard.
All right, so then the number 11 seed will be old man Han Solo.
Isn't there some questions of whether Deckard's a replicant or real, too? We've never really established one way or the other.
It depends on what version, which of like the 10 versions of the movie you're watching.
I have bought the Blu-ray version where there are literally, I'm not kidding you, I think 5 different cuts of that movie on it.
It's something.
Yeah. All right.
Number 10, a tangled slinky.
Oh.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, oh, talking about crippling depression. There you go.
You want to roll down the stairs, but it's all tangled, and even when you undo it, it's going to be bent.
Yeah, they never work right after that.
Just a mess. Number 9, an accidental curly fry. You know, you get your normal order of French fries, and somehow or another, a curly fry snuck its way in there, and you say, hey,
that's the greatest.
Good there, little fella.
Yeah. You can
get a little joy out of that.
Yeah, I agree. I love an accidental curly fry.
Number 8, a loose thread just on a shirt, on a jersey. You know, you just kind of look down, and you're like, damn, really? And then you got to cut it. If you pull on it, you could, like, really pull the thing apart. It's a whole mess. That was number 8. Number 7, Ilya Bryzgalov's Stream of Consciousness.
Oh, man.
He was recently on the trade deadline coverage for Sportsnet in Canada, and he confirmed that he believes in aliens and that they exist, and that when we discovered that new planet, a couple weeks ago, that the aliens waved back. That's what he said.
Nice.
When asked about it.
And we got this on hockey coverage. You got to love a guy that can do that.
The universe, it is humongous big.
Humongous big. Huskies are pretty like a girl. And I saw him at the Ducks Stanley Cup 10-year celebration the other day. And he said something I can't remember right now. He just like spoke and was like, oh my God, okay, Ilya. He also tweeted a picture of the little crowd that we had for this thing. He's like, oh, bigger than Trump's inauguration.
Oh, nice.
But then he also said not because he's Russian and he actually likes Trump. So that was number 7. Number 6, breakfast for dinner.
Hey, it's all right.
Yeah.
I like breakfast for dinner.
Absolutely. Yeah. Who doesn't?
Sometimes you want some eggs? You want some cereal? Go for it, man. You're not constrained to the confines of
absolutely
food.
Not. Breakfast or dinner is awesome. You don't want to do it up a lot, but every once in a while, it's a good thing.
Number five, this was literally announced within the last couple days. It made a strong push up to the fifth seed off a very relatively short season. Outback's new 3-point Bloomin' Onion, which is a Bloomin' Onion topped with cheese fries that are covered in Monterey Jack cheese, cheddar cheese, and bacon, as well as bits of center-cut sirloin steak that come out to a round, nice total of 3,080 calories.
Wow.
Oh Jesus.
Yes. So nice. The Outback's new 3-point Bloomin' Onion.
Have you had one?
No. It was just announced like yesterday, 2 days ago.
All right.
Within the week. That was number five. Number four, let me get my voice on here. Martha!
Very nice.
From Batman vs. Superman, of course.
That movie sucks.
Okay. And a wild coincidence. Oh, that was your number four seed, right?
Yes.
Oh, because I was going to say it's my number five, actually, but it's just a one-word entry like that, so that's cool.
Yes, number four. Martha! Why'd you say that name? So that's four. Number three, where'd it go? Number three is, you know, there's just been a lot of this coming back, and so it's had a strong resurgence. It's a feeling that a lot of folks, you know, around my age, Andy's age, Mike's age, going back to the 90s and the 80s and that stuff, and then things coming back. Nostalgia boner.
Oh, yeah.
Nostalgia boner. You know, a lot of reboots, a lot of, you know, revival series or movies and continuation sequels, all coming up now. Nostalgia boner. Number two is, I don't think they even have these anymore, but the THX sound that played before movies in the theater.
Yeah.
Quality
scene.
Yeah. And then the number one seed, and as we were looking through the some of the posts from the years previous to, you know, get some information on the past tournaments, I looked at the championship spread for last year, and as soon as the championship was announced then, this was the favorite in my conference already. And this was over a year ago now, or a little under a year ago. I consider it kind of a Gonzaga type, not from the strongest conference, but a well put together, strong, powerful seed from the Canadian Prairie Relics Conference, the Sacred Moose Leg of Flin Flon, Manitoba.
It should be noted that this thing making the news shut down the city of Flin Flon's municipal website.
It did indeed. And yep, we have been talking this thing up since we heard of it. We knew it was going to be in the Glorious Tournament of Victory. We knew it would be a strong contender in the Glorious Tournament of Victory. I can't say I'm all that surprised it's the number one seed in the Glorious Tournament of Victory.
Yeah, it, you know, for those that don't know or, you know, miss the inside joke, in Flin Flon, Manitoba, in some Junior B Canadian Hockey League, whenever the home team wins in Flin Flon
Bombers,
they throw a severed moose leg onto the ice, and they celebrate with it. So the opposing team went to go grab it or something like that, and that pissed off the Bombers, rightfully so, and it caused a brawl on the ice. And
that was a disgrace to the good town of Flin Flon.
So, obviously, the Sacred Moose Leg of Flin Flon, Manitoba, has immense power, and rightfully so, taking the number one seed in the goddamn Batman Memorial Region.
I do believe Flin Flon's representative in the Canadian Parliament was able to successfully lobby for more internet to deal with the crisis that was plaguing his town.
Yes, the town did not have enough bandwidth for the Google searches of the town.
Yes, I'm looking at a picture of it now, but no, God, kind of gross.
Well, yeah,
we separate this leg. One of those rare cases where an entry gets a lot of hype early, and you think, okay, this might be one of those things where, as time goes on, it might cool off a little bit. It may be overrated, overhyped, but nope. This time, it came through and became a number one seed, and I think rightfully so.
Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence. We're going to start, of course, at the bottom, number 16. This kind of relates to one of Andy's, but only tangentially. And so number 16 in the Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence is Crazed Resistance Keith Olbermann.
Oh, my.
Wow.
It's so funny. I go on Twitter. I followed him on Twitter a long time ago. But he does those videos, and he just goes off on them. But not only does he go off in the videos, he reposts the video at least 3 times an hour. Like, you go onto his Twitter feed, and it's just him reposting the video over and over and over and over again, trying to get as many views on it as possible.
Is he just, like, unemployed now or something?
He's doing these videos for GQ.
For GQ.
Yeah.
And sometimes, man, he gets to going and screaming and hollering, even swears and stuff. And it's just like, Keith, okay. Mike, I have a question.
Yes.
I also have a Keith Olbermann entry, but I need you to rephrase or tell me what yours is called again, because I want to make sure we don't have a conflict here, because if we do, I've got a backup.
Crazed Resistance, Keith Olbermann.
Okay, no, we'll be okay. All right. Just wanted to make sure.
All right. Number 15, Space Marine Winston Churchill.
Space Marine. Nice.
So it's basically just Winston Churchill, but he has Space Marine armor.
Nice.
Number 14, I think this one will strike a chord with Zach. The Chargers Fight for L.A.
Ooh.
Oh, Jesus.
The Battle of Los Angeles, the important one.
That seed can't be low enough.
Just as a refresher, here's the Fight for L.A. mission statement from your Los Angeles Chargers.
I remember
somebody's
this now.
Los Angeles Chargers, not mine. Somebody's.
I forgot about the actual mission statement.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And they dragged poor Philip Rivers into this, and he didn't deserve that. But anyway, moving on up. So that was number 14. Number 13 is... Now, this is something that only Transformers fans are going to get, but I think it's absurd enough that it's going to pique people's interests, and that is the Car Wash of Doom.
Oh, no.
The Car Wash of Doom?
The Car Wash of Doom.
Just on the name alone, I think it's cool.
The Car Wash of Doom is a car wash that is run by Decepticons, and it hypnotizes humans who go through it.
Nice. We should get one of those in real life.
So, yes, the Car Wash of Doom is sitting in at number 13. Number 12, to avenge Jupiter's disappointing loss, we have from the Giant Gaseous Planet Division, a planet that was discovered last year. That would be Kepler 1647b. Now, the reason why Kepler 1647b is interesting, it is because it is the largest planet discovered by man.
Bigger than Jupiter.
Bigger than Jupiter.
Wow.
So you know what? You know, when Jupiter got knocked out, you know, it's Big Brother. It got a bit antsy, got a bit angry about that. So it's back. Number 11 is Freak Show Mr. Rogers statue from Pittsburgh.
What?
This thing.
Oh, okay.
Mike has a history with Weird Statues Conference.
Yeah, there we go. This is the Mr. Statue. Mr. Rogers Memorial Statue in Pittsburgh.
Oh. And,
yeah, I know, right?
Was he at the bottom of a river?
No, that's how it just was made.
Are those like pigeon droppings instead of
No.
It looks like he was dropped in battery acid or something. Okay.
Number 10. Tom Brady's sex toy.
Oh.
The one from the field in Buffalo?
Yep.
Okay,
the
cool.
The one from the field in Buffalo.
Nice. That's,
I forgot about that.
Patriots get a lot of representation this year.
Number 9. the first entry from the Ancient Aliens division since the Ancient Aliens went out in the first Scorers Tournament of Victory. They're back. This time they're sending Robot Osiris.
Robot Osiris?
A recent Ancient Aliens episode proposed the theory that the Egyptian god Osiris was actually a robot.
Okay.
So, Robot Osiris.
Don't you love that show that they can say pretty much anything as long as they throw ancient astronaut theorists suggest?
Exactly.
And then it's like, you know, this guy was a robot and blah, blah, blah. Cool, nice entry. I like it.
Huh. Now, it beat out dimension-hopping UFO-piloting Loch Ness Monster, which was another thing from Ancient Aliens. But Robot Osiris won the day.
Okay.
Number eight. Again, this one might be problematic. It might be a bit too close to one Andy has, but I think it stands on its own. And that is simply the big dog.
Yeah.
The big dog.
Roman Reigns' nickname.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Every time he shows up, Michael Cole hollers out the big dog.
I think there's a conflict there.
This is in the same vein as 999, Michael. Annoying wrestling announcer catchphrases.
Okay. Yeah, okay. I think we're okay as far as the conflict goes.
Yep.
Number seven. This one is this one is going to be geared more towards the message board audience, but I think people will get it. That one banned user who won't go away.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying the one banned user who won't go away. Number six is the most persistent cat in the world.
It's like, throw off the bed, and it's like, get off the bed, and it just hops up.
I think that cat lives in my house now. You know, I want to go back to your previous entry for a second. It would cause more trouble than it could possibly be worth, but could you imagine a CCSLC-based Glorious Tournament of Victory where we used people and kind of pitted them against each other? Could you imagine?
Oh, the who would you have a beer with thing cause enough problems? Can you imagine if we did that?
But it would probably be the most popular thing we've ever done for the CCSLC listeners if we ever did that. But oh my
god. If we ever need to do a blaze of glory to send ourselves off that board.
There's if we all just decided that we're done here.
Well, yeah, we couldn't have people vote on it. We just make a bracket ourselves, vote on it all the way to the end, post it, and leave.
Well, if we ever decide to do that, that's the way we've got to go.
I guess.
Okay, go ahead, Mike.
All right, so up next, at the number five seed, this was a recent entry. We talked about it last week, in fact. Team Israel's World Baseball Classic mascot, Mensch.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah.
I knew he had to show up.
The one that kind of makes you go, is that racist? Is that okay?
I'm still not sure. You know, I mean, you're the person to ask. Is it okay or is it?
The fact that Team Israel's using it, I think, makes it okay. Okay, again, it's like when a black guy says the N-word. Like, it's just, it's okay when the people it's referring to use it.
Okay, I have two questions while we're on this. First off, I love their hats. The World Baseball Classic, the Team Israel hat.
Oh, yes.
So, but I don't know. Am I allowed to wear that? I mean, because it's clearly a Star of David. I mean, you know,
I guess. Like,
and then while we're talking about offensive, is the Jew Crew t-shirt he's wearing, is that okay?
It's fun.
Okay. I think it's fine. Yeah, it's fine. Like,
I think Team Israel had another nice big win in this thing. And speaking of which, I won't go down the rabbit hole too far here, but the World Baseball Classic has been awesome this year. Been a lot of really good games, but we won't get into that now. All right, go ahead.
I think more people care about the Glorious Tournament of Victory, if I'm being completely honest. But
we'll see. Biggest crowd ever at a Marlins Stadium for a baseball game the other night.
Well, that's not saying much, but
it's the come on.
But 37,000 for a World Baseball Classic game is pretty good.
Anyway, right,
go ahead.
Number four. We talked about this a bit when it happened months ago. It's back. It made the tournament. The number four seed. It's a Buffalo Sabres proposed logo, the Buffalo wearing hockey skates.
Hey. Yeah, I like that.
You know what it kind of looks like? It kind of reminds me of the big red thing from the Looney Tunes.
Yeah.
Where it's just like the big thing of fur with shoes, like, you know, the high tops.
Yeah.
That's what it kind of looks like, with the horns.
Number three seed, coming from a sister region, coming from a sister division to the division that brought us the holy moose leg of Flin Flon. This comes from the General Canadian Prairie Weirdness Division.
Oh.
And that is the Russell Manitoba Goalie Beer Thief.
Oh, yes. Yeah, remember him?
Oh, how could I have forgotten him?
See, Mike was smart. He was keeping track of all the stuff that we talked about over the year.
I kept track of one thing for 12 months. That's it.
This is a man who robbed a beer store in the rural town of Russell, Manitoba, dressed as a hockey goalie and made off with a couple cases of beer.
I love that they theorized that he was a defenseman or forward in disguise.
Well, that's just good Canadian reporting.
Well, that's just, hey, Gort, can you go down to the liquor store and get us a couple 2-4s? Okay.
Number two.
Oh, by the way, real quick. Sorry. The red monster, by the way, his name is Gossamer.
Gossamer.
Really? I never knew that. Gossamer. Okay.
Carry on. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So number two. Number two from the same division as Space Marine Winston Churchill. We have OG Aaron Burr.
Ooh. OG Aaron Burr.
So are we talking about, like, the actual person Aaron Burr, or are we talking Hamilton Aaron Burr?
Oh, OG, original gangsta. It's got to be the first original.
Yeah.
So it's Aaron
Burr. Often duplicated, never imitated Aaron Burr.
I think you got that backwards, but I get what you're saying.
What? Yeah. Okay.
Often duplicated.
So it's Aaron Burr, but he's kind of like in a like NWA like Bloods kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, he shot a man in cold blood.
Oh. Yeah.
This is Aaron Burr. He's just pissed off. You're not going to cross him. If you cross him, he'll shoot you. That's OG Aaron Burr.
All right.
And number one, this caused a bit of... Now, here's the thing about the number one seed here. This caused a bit of a kerfuffle at Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence headquarters. Regional bylaws state that the number one seed, that the last remaining seed from the previous year returns as the number one seed. However, that was, I believe... George Lucas's outrage, bitterness over the Force Awakens success.
Yeah. Right?
That was not going to fly. It was too dated. It was not going to fly. So we had to go with the most relevant runner up. And that is anti-Trump Bald Eagle is back.
Oh. Let's see if it does better this year.
Well, there it is. It's back. All so right. We've got a couple interesting matchups in the first round. A couple barn burners, I think, going into that first round. But we'll just leave it at this for now.
All right. So there you have it. The Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence. As I said at the top of the show, I have changed the name of my region a little bit. It used to be the What It Means to Be a Cleveland Brown region. This year, it is becoming the Bernie Kosar Knows What It Means to Be a Cleveland Brown region. Slight little change there, but...
What it means to be a Cleveland Brown at this point is being taken on as a salary dump so that they can get better draft picks.
I don't know that I would pay $10 million for a second-round pick, but that's just me. Then again, I wouldn't hire a baseball guy to run my football team either, so, you know.
I thought it was very appropriate that they... it's a football team run by baseball guys who made an NBA trade.
Right. That should be an entry, actually. Okay, so in the Bernie Kosar Knows What It Means to Be a Cleveland Brown region, the number 16 seed from the Cable News Network Conference, Kellyanne Conway's next true statement.
Wouldn't that be the first one?
That's kind of the idea, yes. Kellyanne Conway's next true statement, number 16 seed.
let's all have a moment of silence, though, for the victims of the Bowling Green terrorist attack.
Very somber event. Many died.
Many boffins died.
You know, when that thing happened, because I live about, I don't know, an hour east of Bowling Green, and I thought, okay, I don't remember anything happening that. Maybe they mean the one in Kentucky. I didn't realize that they just made up the entire thing. Number 15 from the As Seen on TV conference, one of a perennial favorite here in the Glorious Tournament of Victory, that conference, Wonder Sauna Hot Pants. You'll have to look it up. Wonder Sauna Hot Pants. Number 15 seed.
What's their function?
Well, I don't know, but...
I think they're just like, I have no idea. I'm assuming, based on the description, that they are like weight loss pants that you wear. They're like a big plastic bag, I can only assume.
They look like, you know those little pool rafts that you float around on in the pool? They look like one of those, except you're wearing it, basically.
Oh, God. How could anyone wear these?
Do you see them?
In front of other people.
Yeah. The As Seen on TV conference, another strong showing. From the same place that brought you the, I don't remember what it was a couple of years ago. It was basically the reach around, but I can't remember what the actual name of it was. The arm extender for toilet paper. What was it called? Do you guys remember?
Oh, it's what was that? The Easy Wipe.
Easy Wipe, that's it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, number 14 from our new friends in Europe, a Russian dash cam.
You can always count on Russian dash cams for good stuff.
Right.
Yes. Meteorites, crashes, gunshots.
Insurance scams.
Yes.
It's amazing. I mean, you could spend a day going down the Russian dash cam rabbit hole on YouTube. Number 13 from the Basically a Sports Show Meta Conference. Are you ready for this?
Nice.
Zach's secret hatred of baseball.
Oh!
I swear to God, I kind of like baseball, but I'm not sure. I'm really not. Sometimes it's just like, fuck this thing. I don't know why I'm
funny. See? Yeah, that's why you're in there, pal.
This is why I keep trying to find a new team, but I keep being dragged back to the Angels and having the sinking disappointment and depression.
There you go.
Dodgers, I guess. Sure. You are in a market with two teams.
No, God no.
Okay.
I don't like playing in a league with an automatic out. Get out of here, Dodgers, National League. Sure.
Here, here.
See? That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Number 12.
Every inning should start with a runner on second base. How about that?
Yeah.
Get all the runs.
Here, I thought he was going to argue me on this point. He's just kind of proving it for me, so that's good. Number 12 seed, the couch on a couch on the front porch of a redneck's house.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a hit or miss. Like that's sometimes they're really gross. Sometimes they're really convenient, though. You know,
I know. Sometimes you go.
It all depends on climate. I find.
Yeah. Sometimes you look at it and go, "Well, it's not the worst thing, really." So it could be an interesting entry. We'll see. Number 11 seed from the Oscars, Warren Beatty's confusion at the Oscars.
Solid.
Yeah.
I was waiting to see how the Oscars would get integrated because I felt like that moment deserved some GTOV recognition, but I couldn't find a place. So I'm glad somebody got it in here on their bracket.
As we spoke of earlier, we thought there might be a conflict with Keith Olbermann, but I don't believe so. If it is, I have a backup ready. The Righteous Indignation of Keith Olbermann. Is that the same as yours, Mike? It's a little different, I think, right?
Mine was Crazed Resistance, Keith Olbermann.
Okay. So yours is kind of like a broader picture of Keith Olbermann. I'm focusing on one specific aspect of him.
Mm.
So are we okay with that, or should I put something else in there?
I'm okay with it.
I'm okay with it. If they end up, you know, crossing paths in the championship, we can further determine rules. Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I think one way or another, we won't have to worry about them too long.
From the Retro Old School Vehicles Conference, a 1974 Winnebago.
I was wondering what you were going to do.
A 74, huh?
Yeah.
Let's see. I wonder if there were any special features on a 1974.
Well, the dog seems to enjoy it.
Winnebago. Oh.
Uh, I just thought that they become Walter big around van. Like, that's what I was trying to think. Wasn't his like a 74?
I think that's a 74, the picture I had to put in there.
Yeah, there you go. That's a classic, man.
It's kind of got that like cigarette stained white outside.
Yeah.
Sort of looks like a bus.
Yeah, it's. What's number seat is that one?
That is number 9.
Okay.
Which we'll be taking in. Now, we talked about the Champ Conference earlier and the importance of team over individual. And I think that this next entrant is going to find that out the hard way, because from Chimp Mariachi Band, the guitarist left and went on his own. And from the Chimp Conference this year, we have flamenco guitarist Chimp by himself.
Oh.
As an entry, yes. He has split the band, and flamenco guitarist Chimp is going it alone this year. And he did do well in the Chimp Conference tournament, so here he is.
Will he be the Justin Timberlake or the J.C. Sage?
Good question.
I got to say, I don't think he does very well. I think it's going to end disastrously for him.
Well, we'll see. We'll find out. especially with the other Chimp Conference entrant, too. It's going to be very interesting. Where are we at? That was number 8, right? Number 7. Are you ready for this, guys? The next big movie coming down the pike. Betty White as the Green Lantern.
Oh.
Is it, does she have the Ryan Reynolds CGI suit? Is she wearing a latex suit?
It's a latex suit.
Okay. Okay.
Betty White as the Green Lantern.
Ugh.
Okay. Number 6 seed in the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region, a real life Sharknado.
That's a strong seed. I feel like it's a low seed for that. Honestly, I mean.
Well, see, I mean, we'll talk about it when it gets into the matchup, but I feel like the TV Sharknado, you can do things specifically with the TV, but a real Sharknado?
Yeah.
There's going to be some flaws to the Sharknado.
Well, we'll find out. Number 5 in the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region, Detroit.
Detroit.
Detroit?
Detroit.
I'm told Detroit is on the rise, but, you know.
it's relative.
Number 4 from the Mighty Chimp Conference. Number 4 seed, Chimp Biker Gang, also known as the Disciples of Darwin. Biker Gang, number 4 seed.
Do you have, like, photos of the Chimp representatives?
Yes, I do. I will. Okay. When we get done, I'll put them up in the thread. I was just
making sure. I always look. It helps influence my voting when I can actually see.
Yes, Chimp Biker Gang, the Disciples of Darwin. They are known as number 3 seed. This is a reference from a show just a few weeks back. Mark Davis's 1997 Dodge minivan with VHS player.
Oh wow!
Oh. On his way to P.F. Chang's, of course.
Right.
Right. Going to his office.
I'm sure there's some P.F. Chang's coupons like stuck in the center dashboard or something.
Probably
like that.
Wedged in between the roof of the car and the VHS player, I would guess.
Yeah. The sun visor.
Right. At number 2 in the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region, get ready for the comedy duo of King Kong and Tommy Lee Jones.
So... is this like a stand-up comedy duo,
right,
or
exactly.
are they an act like Abbott and Costello in a movie?
It's they're an act. They do an act together. They're on tour doing stand-up. King Kong and Tommy Lee Jones, the comedy duo.
Do they like compare dicks or something?
I don't know. I was thinking of entries, and King Kong and Tommy Lee Jones came to mind at the same time. I thought, what can I do with that?
Well, there you go.
And number 1, the number 1 seed in the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region, a mime debate team.
The great irony.
Yes. The Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region. We're going to get the first round out of the way here, so we'll start back where we started the show with Andy and the Bill Paxton Memorial Region, the matchups.
Okay, so are we going to start from the top or should I start from the bottom?
Whatever you want to do.
Let's start from the top. So we have number 1 seed, Endless Tacos, taking on number 16 seed, Dat Boy, Oh Shit, What Up? So we have a meme. Somebody, if you don't mind, posted in the chat so that I don't know if you guys are all familiar with Dat Boy, Oh Shit, What Up? but
painfully so.
It is just a frog.
It's a CGI frog.
Yeah, a very bad CGI frog, mind you.
Riding a unicycle with the words "dat boy, oh shit, what up?"
Usually in Comic Sans, yeah.
Yeah, I believe the actual image came from a geometry book or some nonsense.
Yeah,
here we go. Here's an image for everyone.
Yeah, there he is. Okay, yeah, that's here comes that boy. Oh shit, what up? So that thing is taking on endless tacos, and by endless tacos, I don't mean like a restaurant where they just bring you tacos, plate of tacos. I just want you to envision like a portal where tacos just constantly just tumble out of it, just endlessly, and it cannot be closed.
So even if no one's standing there, tacos just keep pouring out.
Exactly. Yes.
Okay, I'm going with the tacos in this one. That's my vote.
I like tacos a lot, but I'm also just going to go with tacos on principle because I don't want to look at that stupid frog.
I think that's already been decided. So I'll give a sympathy vote to Here Come Dat Boy, Oh Shit, Butt Up, the principle that it is the least offensive cartoon frog of the past calendar year.
Okay. All right.
I'm glad to see Endless Tacos move on. I was worried. I've lost some number one seeds in the past, and Endless Tacos, I feel like, deserves at least a tiny, you know, representation of the next round. Now, here's 8-9, winner of which will take on Endless Tacos. Giant anthropomorphic candy corn that shits Molotov cocktails was taking on its cousin, the giant anthropomorphic eggplant that shits grenades.
I got to think that the grenades would cause more damage, wouldn't they?
Yes, but something to think about here. With a grenade, you need an extra action. You have to pull the pin. The Molotov cocktail's coming out on fire, ready to explode at a moment's notice. So that's just something to consider here.
I'm going to go eggplant, because not only are the grenades more effective, Molotovs, I feel, will only end up cooking the eggplant, which... people eat eggplant. That's good. And I think really the only way to get to a candy corn is probably to blow it up. You got to crack that hard exterior somehow. And I think the grenade is perfectly able to do that. And eggplants are just bigger than candy corn. So I think you'd have to have an army of candy corn.
That's true. That is the only way to get rid of candy corn. Because God knows I've thrown out enough of it, and it keeps coming back.
So but I want you to imagine, by the way, for the sake of argument, they are both like 6 feet tall, and they have like arms and legs. So they're anthropomorphic. They're human size. Like the candy corn is not the actual size of a candy corn. It's a huge – it's a 6 foot tall candy corn.
With arms and legs.
Yes.
Okay.
As is the eggplant.
You know, I'm going to go with the candy corn. I don't know. It's just a gut feeling, but I like the candy corn better. I'm going to go with that. That's my vote. So I guess, Mike, it's on you.
I'm going for the eggplant.
All right.
Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So a
giant anthropomorphic eggplant that shits grenades will take on Endless Tacos. All right. And this is a good matchup. Number 4, Guile from the arcade, Guile Street Fighter, will take on number 13 seed Harambe.
Oh, wow. Man, I got to tell you, for me, Harambe had legs. I mean, that thing, the dicks out for Harambe, that just had some serious mileage behind it. It was tired and it was old, but it wouldn't go away.
And did anyone ever say dicks out for Guile?
No. I don't think so, yeah.
Yeah, but I gotta say, if it comes down to them throwing down, though, Guile's got moves.
I mean, and, you know, if all due respect to Harambe, Harambe's a fucking gorilla. You know, it's a male silverback gorilla, you know.
Strong, but not very good with the strategy, I'm thinking, probably. No. Yeah.
You convinced me, Harambe.
I'm going with Harambe, too.
Wow, what a first upset. Holy shit.
Wow, yeah, I mean, I think I go Harambe also. You know, no offense to Kyle, but I think I got to go with Harambe too.
I think that's going to get some backlash in the thread. I mean,
probably
a lot of people like Guile. You know, as a high seed, 13 beats a 4, so Harambe moves on. Oh boy! All right, number 5 versus number 12. Number 5, the sinking depression of remembering that Robin Williams killed himself, is taking on number 12, the combined power of Adele and Sia's singing voices.
I'm going with number 5.
I'm going to go the Robin Williams one. That's
going to be tough to beat.
That always gets me. I'll just think of a stand-up routine of his, and then I'm like, oh, that was great, and then it's
like the bit where he gets pulled over by the cop when he's high on weed, and like he says the cop's walking up to him and starts talking in slow-mo. I mean, that's funnier than shit, man. Just that alone.
Yeah,
I'm going with Robin Williams.
Zach, it's arbitrary at this point, but
yeah. I don't know. Adele isn't normally a happy voice herself. Sia is, so they might cancel each other out. But even so, it's just, yeah, it's hard to go against that. The force is behind that emotion of the depression of losing Robin Williams.
Look at this matchup already. We've got the sinking depression of Robin Williams and the suicide versus Harambe. That's already a classic matchup.
The ratings for that should be is huge,
right? I hope they don't like put it on one of the third networks, and you know, like at 10 o'clock at night.
Oh God! All right, so yeah, Harambe and Robin Williams' depression. All right, cool. Number 2, the sinking depression of living in Trump's America takes on a boombox that plays only Taylor Swift's "Shake It Off." Now, "Shake It Off" is a happy song. You know, that's a catchy fucking song.
See, you got to look at this. You can't look at it as just the sinking depression. You've got to think of the power of that boombox. It could annoy. It could make you happy. I mean, it's got a lot of different things it can do.
Right. Essentially, you're voting whether the depression you feel over living in Trump's America is overwhelming or underwhelming compared to the joy and snappy feel-good nature of endlessly listening to Shake It Off.
Well, I think in a time like this, in the depression of Trump's America, you could use a boombox that plays "Shake It Off" endlessly. I'm going to go boombox.
Mike,
I'm going to go depression of Trump's America.
Oh, great! So you put it on me. You know, Zach, I'm with you, but when it comes to the overall power of these two combatants, I just don't know if you can take down the Trump and the sinking depression of the Trump America.
I have more things to be depressed about than Trump's America. Unfortunately, as a single white male, you know,
I'm going to go with Mike on this one, and I'm going to vote Trump and the sinking depression of knowing that he's running my great country.
All right. It moves on. Number 7, Goro takes on number 10, the sinking depression after shattering your phone's screen.
We could have a straight-up depression matchup here.
It's a powerful thing, depression.
Yes. What was the – okay, run them by me again.
Goro, right. The number 7 seed. Let's get Goro. I'm going to find a picture of Goro.
For Mortal Kombat, right?
Yeah.
This is a tough one.
There's Goro for you. Okay, so there's Goro taking on the depression. So, I mean, you have to sort of imagine that Goro, he wants to fight, but he just shattered his phone screen. So, like, does that discourage him enough from participating further, you know?
Somebody vote. I got to think about this one.
All right, so Goro versus the depression of breaking your phone screen. Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I've broken many a phone screen in my time of owning iPhones.
Sure.
But luckily, there was a very convenient and not too expensive repair place near me that I've used
before.
And you can properly protect yourself by getting a good case for a good money. Nothing can prepare you for the four-armed punishment that that Goro can deal out. I mean, Goro can break your phone. Goro can break your neck.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine as Goro, he just sort of smashes phones up on the regular, you know?
Right, yeah. I'm going to slide in with Goro.
Mike?
I'm going to go with Goro. Goro.
I was going to go with him, too, so that makes it unanimous.
All right.
All right, the depression finally lost. All right, this is going to be weird. Number three, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich the size of Maine.
Wait, well, so our matchup is number two, Trump against Goro, right?
Trump's depression of living in Trump's America will take on Goro.
Okay.
That'll be something.
yeah.
Number three, peanut butter and jelly sandwich the size of Maine will take on number 14, the sinking depression after a Roman Reigns victory.
Well, what other way to get over the depression of a Roman Reigns victory than to start biting into that Maine-sized PBJ?
Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Zach. I think the PBJ's got to win this one.
Plus, if you're underneath, say you get underneath the PBJ, you're crushed by the sheer size of a sandwich the size of one of our original 13 colonies.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yep.
And if you're underneath that sandwich, you're not going to know the Roman Reigns won because you're underneath a sandwich. So, sandwich.
Mike, you want to throw yours in there just for the hell of it?
Ah, sandwich, sure.
Okay.
All right. And finally, the last matchup, number six, Bill Belichick in an ironclad warship is taking on Tom Brady in a Nazi jet copter.
The war games at play here.
I'm taking Belichick in this one.
Brady.
Belichick's a stone-cold gangster, man. He'll take out his own quarterback and not even think twice about it.
So there's the jet copter that Tom Brady is in.
Yeah, that jet copter paired with Tom Brady's aesthetic, I guess, is a good way to put it. And then you have Bill Belichick in a literal battle war situation.
It's like a Civil War era ironclad battleship.
Oh, I understand.
Yeah.
I understand. I think you could give, if you gave Bill Belichick an army of 5'9" white dudes with muskets taking on, you know, a well-trained Nazi military with aerial capabilities, I still think Bill Belichick would find a way to get the army of white guys to win. And so you put him in a tiny little Civil War ironclad ship. You could put him up against an F-16, and I still might take Bill Belichick.
So Belichick wins?
Yeah, I guess so.
That's my vote.
You and Mike split, so
all Belichick. Right. So Belichick takes on the PBJ, right?
Yeah. Yeah, just to recap, we'll have Bill Belichick in an ironclad warship taking on a peanut butter jelly sandwich the size of Maine.
So, well, I mean, it's all an all New England battle.
The winner of that will take on Goro versus the sinking depression of living in Trump's America. Then we have the sinking depression of remembering Robin Williams killed himself, taking on Harambe. And then you have the giant anthropomorphic eggplant that shits grenades taking on endless tacos. So that'll be a very interesting, colorful match for the people to vote on. Can't wait to see the results.
Glorious.
Okay, moving on to the goddamn Batman Memorial Region.
Yes. So the first matchup, you have the number one seed, Sacred Moose Leg of Flan, Manitoba, taking on the 16 seed, the Smell of Eucalyptus.
Oh, it's a moose leg and a walk here, I think.
Moose leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, I figured that one would be pretty easy. Actually, I think moose leg might get through the second round pretty easy, too, depending on your opinion of these two. The number eight seed, a loose thread, versus the number nine seed, an accidental curly fry.
Curly fry.
Curly fry all the way. Mike, you got a vote?
Curly fry. Curly fry is just, I mean, that's just pleasant when it happens, right?
Yeah, it's a bonus.
Yeah, okay. I figured that one was a little bit more easy.
Okay.
The 512. This is a very interesting one, I think. You have Outback's new three-point Bloomin' Onion, which, again, is the Bloomin' Onion covered in cheese fries and bacon and center-cut sirloin steak bits for a 3,080-calorie total. Taking on the 12-seed, an overhead projector.
I like the overhead projector with its reassuring hum.
Part of me wants to go with... I need a minute, Mike. If you've got input, Mike, let's hear it. I gotta weigh this one.
Well, you know what, Mike, Zach?
You gotta go with the overhead projector. Come on.
Yeah, but I don't use them.
Okay.
I don't use them. They were phased out of classrooms before I even left high school.
Yeah, but you've admitted that you're a bit of a Luddite with technology, so you should bring it back. Yeah.
I should bring it back. But on the other hand, that three-point Bloomin' Onion's just so absurd. Like, it's just so absurd.
And if, like, I can't, my internet's being slow right now. But if you see a picture of this thing, it looks giant and monstrous and just kind of like, what the hell?
Let me see a picture of this.
Yeah, we got to look at this thing here. 3-point. Oh, come on.
What the?
All right, let's see here.
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
That looks right tasty, doesn't it?
Wow. I'm sorry. You know what? Maybe I will bring back the overhead projector, but it won't be today. 3-point Bloomin' Onion.
Zach, what was your vote?
Well, it's my bracket.
Oh, I'm sorry. Andy, you got it. Okay, I'm going with the overhead projector. So, Andy, this one's on you. Which way are we going?
Now, I love... I always really dug when the overhead projector would wheel its way out there, you know, but also I had a lot of boring memories tied to that thing.
Oh yeah.
Plus that thing looks really good.
Oh, it does.
I'm getting hungry just looking at it. I'm going to have to go with the Bloomin' Onion, man. Got to vote for it.
Wow. See,
I feel like it's going to be, it's got legs, you know, I feel good about it.
All right. So, I mean, we had a 9-8, so no upsets quite yet. Next one, we have the 4-seed Martha taking on the number 13-seed, the TV Guide Channel.
Oh, this is easy for me. TV Guide Channel all the way.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with Martha. That thing had it all. Because on one hand, you could actually kind of say it makes sense if you think about it like this. But on the other hand, it's just so absurd. There's a lot of pent-up emotion in that Martha in so many different directions. I don't think the TV Guide Channel, current home of TNA Impact Wrestling, can deal with that. So I'm going to go with Martha.
You should vote TV Guide just for the way you flawlessly dropped that plug for TNA Wrestling in there. That was really well done.
You'd be a great NASCAR driver, Mike.
Yeah, well, you really would. Andy, it's on you.
Yeah, I'm not going to vote for Martha. I absolutely will not endorse Martha. Batman vs. Superman was a disgrace.
Yes.
Anyone who enjoyed it should be embarrassed of themselves for validating that shit or validating any of these new DC Extended Universe. Just Zack Snyder trash. It's just all garbage. It's all garbage.
I don't want to throw us off the track too much here, but have they done a good DC movie? I mean, I can't think of one besides Batman, obviously.
Yeah, the Nolan Batmans, but
yeah,
any sort but of those are universe distinct thing have not been good.
I mean, I was a big Green Lantern fan as a kid, and I saw that movie, and I was like, "Oh my god, this is just a piece of shit. It doesn't make any sense. It's just bad."
Other than the Nolan Batman movies, I would say, I think Suicide Squad was probably originally a good movie before they hired a trailer company to re-edit it. It was probably good once upon a time, but not what we got. So.
I feel like Man of Steel had its good points, but mostly was garbage. And it's just all bad. Anyway, no Martha.
TV Guide Channel moves on. Okay.
I got to say, just on the topic of TV Guide Channel, you know, I feel like TV Guide Channel as a kid for me anyway, like I relied on that son of a bitch sometimes, you know, like you go there and it's like, I want to see what's on at 4 or 5 o'clock, 4:30, whatever. And it was just comforting, you know, it's like, all right, so there's my channel. I can kind of just wait for 34 to scroll past or whatever, you know? So I feel like it's got more utility than the shitty, shitty plot resolution from a bad movie. So TV Guide channel, count me in.
All right.
You know what? I had high hopes for the Martha line, but
sorry.
I'm very surprised with the TV channel's selection. But hey, it's a victim of the matchup. These things happen.
That's why we play the game, man.
That's why we play the game. Yep.
Number six seed, Breakfast for Dinner, takes on the number 11 seeded Old Man Han Solo.
Oh, it's a tough matchup.
It really is.
I'll lay out the first vote. I love Force Awakens, love Old Man Han Solo, but I'm going Breakfast for Dinner because it is a principle of mine, a principle that if I am at a restaurant that has all day breakfast, I am ordering something off the breakfast.
Goddamn right. That's exactly the way I look at it. Absolutely.
Kind of as a sweet baby, like Breakfast for Dinner. That's where it's at. You know, Han Solo, man, he's fucking dead. Breakfast for Dinner, that's forever. So
he got killed by his millennial son. Move on.
All right. That was an easy one. I thought that would be a little tougher, but Breakfast for Dinner walks away with the easy win.
Yeah. All right. I'm not mad at it, but there we go. All right. Number three seed, Nostalgia Boner. Takes on the number 14 seeded Maple Leafs logo butt.
Well, there's just a ton of jokes to be made there.
You know what? I'm tired of the logo butt jokes. All right, no. It's a good logo. It's a good update of a classic logo. No, a Nostalgia Boner.
All right,
Andy.
Yeah. It is a butt, though. You know, I mean. And that said, I feel like Nostalgia Boner, as I get older, Nostalgia Boner is going to mean a lot more to me than, a trifling mark on a logo. So I'm going to go with the old boner here.
Okay. I would have voted boner as well, just to, for transparency. So there we go. So Breakfast Dinner takes on Nostalgia Boner. There's a matchup for you.
Alrighty. Number seven seed, Ilya Bryzgalov's Stream of Consciousness. Taking on the number 10 seed, Tangled Slinky.
I think his Stream of Consciousness is kind of like a Tangled Slinky.
Oh, yeah. I'm going with the Stream of Consciousness. That's my vote.
I'm going Slinky here. I think that the Tangled Slinky is frustrating. And it would eventually derail his train of thought, and he would just kind of give in. You know, I feel like the tangled slinky is just, they're a pain in the ass. I hate them, and they ruin the toy is ruined at that point. You know, I feel like it's more frustrating. Go ahead.
I'm gonna have to break the tie in favor of Andy. I do think the tangled slinky has to take it.
Good, because you know what? After his argument, I have to agree that he's probably – that's the way to go. So, okay.
Like a tangled slinky, it's almost a philosophical question, right? Because a slinky only has really one purpose. And if it's tangled, what does it do? What is its reason for existence? And I think there's enough there. The tangled slinky, I think, is something that could stump even mankind's greatest philosophers. So I've got to give a nod to it.
Folks, only in the glorious tournament of victory can you get into an existential conversation about a tangled slinky. Just saying. You can't find this. You're not going to see this in the NCAA tournament. This is not going to happen.
No.
Okay. Tangled slinky moves on.
Tangled slinky moves on. Wow. Strong. A 10 seed, and I think it has some life, but it will have a tough out in the next round because when I announced it, some of you thought it was a low seed. But it's also going up against a very strong number two seed. Number two seed, THX Sound versus number 15 seed, Cinnamon Graham Dunkaroos.
Mm. So,
I'm going to vote for, this hurts me, I'm going to go with THX Sound. I feel like that sound is, it's very exciting. It always meant that you were about to watch a sweet movie, you know, like it was a cool noise. Whereas the Dunkaroos, they're cool, they're tasty, but I mean, like, it's nowhere near as impressive as that awesome sound.
Yeah, I think the THX sound, especially in the theater, if they've got it cranked up good and loud, or at home in your home surround sound system, is just really cool. I'm going with the THX sound myself.
I would have gone with that as well. Like, when I think of that old sound, I think, you know what? That's back when there was still a degree of craftsmanship in movie
making.
Yeah,
right.
You don't see it anymore. THX sound, yeah.
Did you read that article on crack.com from a day or two ago about how all the movies are basically, it's just become so formulaic now, it's ridiculous?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You just have to watch any Marvel movie these days.
Right. And then, you know, the color palette, like they wash everything out. Now there's no color in anything anymore. But anyway, go ahead. I'll say that's it for your region, right, Zach?
That's it. So okay. The second round matchups, Taker Moose Leg versus Accidental Curly Fry. Three-point Bloomin' Onion taking on the TV Guide channel.
Yeah.
Breakfast for Dinner taking on the Nostalgia Boner. And Tangled Slinky versus THX Sound.
I tell you what, man. I think we're destined for a food showdown here. I'm really excited to see Bloomin' Onion potentially take on Breakfast for Dinner like that. Would really get me salivating. Like,
oh, yeah.
All right. Let's move over to the Sentinel Prime Memorial Region of Excellence.
All righty. So we're going to start with our number one versus number 16 seed. And we've got here a good old-fashioned resistance matchup. The anti-Trump Bald Eagle is taking on crazed resistance Keith Olbermann.
Ooh. All right. You guys go ahead and vote. I've got to think this one through.
Yeah, I feel like anti-Trump Eagle here. It was close enough to peck his eye out. I wish it had. It had bitten his face and just maimed him, scarred him horribly, destroying his vanity. It was so close to doing that. I just wish it had finished the job. And you know what? For that, it kind of pisses me off because it didn't do it. It should have killed the son of a bitch. I mean, I lose myself to my hatred here.
No, that's good. That's good. Give in to it.
Yeah. Well, let's go with anti-Trump Eagle. I feel like, you know, it made a nice run. It deserves at least to survive here. And Keith Olbermann, I don't want to give him the credit. You know, I've had enough Keith Olbermann. I enjoyed him, and I enjoy his opinion sometimes. He's a very important broadcaster to the sports world. But, you know, it's just like, come on, this is enough. You know, just stop it. Eagle. Yeah.
In times like these, you know, I appreciate Keith's enthusiasm and fervor. But I feel in times like these, the more effective of the two in fighting the crippling depression of Trump's America would not only just be the eagle itself, but the spirit that the eagle represents in attacking Donald Trump as the spirit of the anti-Trump eagle. So I, too, will go anti-Trump eagle.
Anti-Trump Eagle has it. Greg, you want to add your 2 cents in for posterity's sake?
I would have gone with the Eagle, too, because as much as I like KO, and I especially like unhinged KO, I'm with Andy. It's just enough already.
I think, honestly, you know, the anti-Trump Eagle was a great selection last year. It may even have a better life this season.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
It went into the offseason, and it got better.
Well, you got to think when this time last year, when it was in the tournament, there was no one thought for a second Donald Trump was going to win the Republican nomination. He was just a joke, a punchline at that point. Now he's the president of the United States. So that eagle has suddenly gained stature it didn't have this time last year.
Very much so, yeah.
All right. So we are going to move on down. Just quickly pull up my brackets. All right, number 8 versus number 9. So that means the big dog is going up against Ancient Aliens, Robot Osiris.
Oh, wow.
So the Robot Osiris is merely plausible at best. I mean, to even exist. Whereas the big dog is clearly tangible. I mean, it is a really annoying catchphrase that is completely validated, or not validated, but, you know, it has occurred. I have heard it. It annoys me. Whereas this Osiris bot, while horrifying to ponder its existence, you know, there's no, I'm sort of envisioning the thing from Stargate. That's about as much as I can give it. If that's
incidentally, Incidentally, I don't mean to cut you off, but I just wanted to throw this in. That same episode that talked about Robot Osiris also put forth the theory that the second Iraq war was fought so George Bush could steal Saddam Hussein's Stargate.
Yeah, I saw that. He's not kidding.
Yeah, okay. I'm just going to go with... I don't know.
I'll go Robot Osiris just because it's...
I was going to... Yeah, me too, because I'm an Ancient Aliens fan, and I have to stick with my boy with... what's his name? The hair dude.
Sukalos,
right.
So Robot Osiris moves on.
That's fine.
All right. let's see what's...
the anti-Trump Bald Eagle versus Robot Osiris. Jesus, okay.
This is 4 versus 13.
Yes, 4 versus 13. So the Buffalo Sabres skate-wearing Buffalo is going after the Car Wash of Doom.
Oh, man. These are two entries I like a lot.
Well, the Car Wash of Doom, and it would hypnotize humans.
Right.
Yes.
But it would not hypnotize a skating buffalo. But that's no, so does the buffalo just merely skate through to endure? Like, is that all it needs to do is prove that it's not hindered by the power of the car wash?
Well, I suppose.
I mean, is it like, would he fall down? Would his skates have traction?
They wouldn't, because they'd get caught in that those hook things that drag cars and stuff through the car wash.
Yeah, as long as he just stays still, I think the car wash would move him through. The main question is, does the Car Wash of Doom successfully hypnotize a hockey skate wearing buffalo?
Well, no, I don't think it does. I think the damn buffalo makes it through. I just think it might be beat up, but it's a pretty doughty animal, you know? Like, I mean, it's a rough and tumble beast. It just happens to have skates on its legs, making it kind of...
Well, okay, wait, hold on now. We've seen it has skates on two legs. Does it have skates on all four? Because the picture I suddenly had it on his front feet or hooves or whatever they are. That's an important question.
I think it's assumed that all four would have skates.
You know what? I'm going with the buffalo, because it's just, I mean, I love the Car Wash of Doom. I think it's great, but I think Andy's made some great points about the buffalo. I'm going with the buffalo.
Yeah, buffalo.
Zach?
I would have concerns about the buffalo using the skates on cement or concrete, you know, asphalt, not in its natural skating environment, unless it can also be exchanged for rollerblades, then we could be okay. But I just the look in the buffalo's eyes lets me know that he can do it and he can take up the car wash.
Yeah, and I'm going to say that because this buffalo can ice skate, I'm going to go ahead and assume that he can also rollerblade, so he's going to know the difference and put on the rollerblades when it's necessary, or the rollerblades when it's necessary. So I'm going with the buffalo again.
Incidentally, Jack, basically a geek show, just walked in, and he wanted to let everyone know that he fought hard to get Mike Pence's grinder password put into the tournament, but it sadly did not make the cut.
Too bad.
God damn it.
Okay.
All right, so 5 versus 12. We've got Team Israel's World Baseball Classic mascot versus, hang on, let me just quickly reference it, number 12, Kepler, 1647B.
Oh, geez, another fucking planet thing here.
This is a hard one.
Yeah.
See, here's the thing. I don't know anything about Kepler planet 1607b other than it's large. I know a lot of things about the Israel mascot thing, but am I comfortable with those things? No. It's a very... This is a tight line to walk between these two, despite being as completely different as they could possibly be.
It is not.
No?
It's a fucking planet.
Hey, Jupiter lost once too, man.
I'm not
that, still that, the most stunning upset in GTOV history, though.
Hold on, now hold on a minute. When that thing lost, it lost to a mystical ghostly statue.
That's true.
It did do that. Okay.
And let's not forget too that Jupiter was incorrectly seeded in the voting as well, and that hurt it. So, but
what is the mascot holding? Is he holding a candle?
He's holding a it's a candle. He could be lighting the candle for the Sabbath, or maybe he's lighting the candle for Hanukkah. There are options there.
Or maybe he's getting, like, sucked into the oxygen-free area of the planet's atmosphere and dying miserably. Fuck that. Planet Kepler.
Wow. This is a tough call, because I find it difficult, especially after seeing my Jupiter planet lose, to vote against the planet. But I really like that mascot. But that's the thing. I don't know if I should really like it.
So
liking it seems to be endorsing it. I'm not sure. I'm not saying we should endorse it, but I'm not sure that we should.
Vote with your heart, man. I mean,
I gotta go with the planet. I'm sorry, planet wins.
Well, that's two for the planet, so my vote's inconsequential. For the people, I would have voted for the mascot, because I believe the mascot would have had a longer run in this tournament.
You know what? I'm changing my vote. I'm sorry. My gut tells me I'm going with the mascot. Sorry.
Yeah.
It is now tradition that giant-ass planets don't win shit. The Giant Planets Conference sucks my balls. Like, from now on,
It was a victim of the matchup again.
And again, the giant planet goes out in the first round. You know, he came into this looking for revenge, too.
Well, you know, maybe Saturn should have showed up, or Neptune, or one of those, because I think familiarity would have helped a lot in this case.
All right. Anyway, 6 versus 11. So 6 is the most persistent cat in the world versus number 11, the freaky Mr. Rogers statue in Pittsburgh.
God. You know, as persistent as a cat is, that will eventually leave. The image of this Mr. Rogers statue will never go away. I got to go Rogers statue, because that thing is just...
Andy?
Well, the cat is...
indescribable, really.
The cat is organic, so, I mean, it's going to just die. You know, it gets sit there and, you know, flop onto the statue all at once, and the statue is just going to sit there, and, you know, it's going to be... That thing's going to outlive us. So, I mean, I got to go with the Mr. Rogers statue. It is horrifying. It looks uncomfortable and scratchy. And, statue.
I will throw a sympathy vote to the cat, just because this was already decided, but had it not been, I would have voted statue as well.
And the statue moves on, defeating the most persistent cat. Jack is not – he is shaking his head. All right, so we're moving on.
Tell Jack to get his own tournament.
Moving on, number 3 versus 14. So that will have us pitting Russell Manitoba goalie beer thief – against the Chargers fight for L.A.
Oh, I think I know which way this
Canadian
one's
beer
go.
Thief,
dude. Canadian beer thief. I think Canadian beer thief. I'm not going to lie here, folks. I think Canadian beer thief is on the fast track to the Final Four. I'm not going to lie. I think that thing is going to go the distance.
Yeah, that was a sweep. Yeah, Canadian beer thief all the way.
Okay, hang on, Russell Manitoba. Goalie, and he defeated Chargers fight for LA. All right.
The Chargers are going to lose their own fight for LA, so God knows they can't get out of the first round.
All right. 7 versus 10. So now we are going up. We're going to see the one banned user who won't go away takes on Tom Brady's sex toy.
Oh. I don't like voting for either one of these.
I'm going to go with the Jolly Hurled Dildo. The great fans of Buffalo.
Yeah.
Beautiful arcing throw of a flopping white dildo, you know, clattering onto the field live for the world to see.
And didn't the dildo have a smiley face drawn on it as well?
He did, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it was a face.
I love the Buffalo Bills fans. I'm going with the dildo, too.
Yeah, I think that deserves a little bit more play. Let's go with
all right.
That.
All right.
Is that... All right. So Tom Brady's sex toy moves on. That was 7-10. Final matchup. Oh, this is going to be big. OG Aaron Burr takes on Winston Churchill as a space marine.
Oh.
Space Marine Churchill.
Okay, yeah, one vote for Space Marine Churchill.
I'll let
okay.
Andy go first, just in case. I may not end up deciding this thing. Go ahead, Andy.
Yeah. Churchill in the space cadet suit. I mean, you'd think that'd be an easy thing, but I feel like Winston Churchill. First of all, he was obese. He was kind of just sloppy. He probably drank a lot of like brandy, you know. I imagine him being in this like suit would be pretty, you know, ungainly and sort of reckless. I'm gonna vote with Aaron Burr. I feel like Aaron Burr would not fuck around and just like pop a cap in his ass, you know, and just let that be that. He's a killer.
Yeah.
All right.
I've got to do the swing vote on this. I'm gonna go with Burr as well.
Wow.
OG That's Burr. Cool. Yeah.
Wow. OG. Well, you know what? Some people thought Space Marine Winston Churchill was ranked too low, but Aaron Burr just proved that he earned that number two spot.
Yeah, I got to go with OG Burr. So there you go.
So in our so moving forward, our matchups will see anti-Trump Bald Eagle take on Ancient Aliens Robot Osiris.
Very good.
Team Israel World Baseball Classic mascot will take on Buffalo wearing hockey skates.
What a matchup. What a matchup. What a beautiful tournament this is.
Mr. Rogers' statue takes on the Russell Manitoba goalie beer thief.
Oh, man.
Fantastic. What a round.
And Tom Brady's sex toy takes on OG Aaron Burr.
Have you ever noticed how, like, when you hear a bracket, when we're just laying them out 16 through 1, that you go, I don't know. They don't sound so great. Yeah. And then, like, all of a sudden the matchups start happening, and the magic just happens, man. It's like all of a sudden you're going, this is fucking incredible. And, yeah, what a great round.
Very strong. Can't wait.
All right, let's finish it up here with the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region. We'll start with our, 1-16 first?
Yeah.
Yar.
Number one seed, the Mime Debate Team. Taking on number 16 seed, Kellyanne Conway's next true statement.
Well, here's the problem. The mimes are never going to say anything. And Kellyanne Conway may never say a true statement.
Yeah, but the mimes are going to, picture the mimes doing debate. That would be fucking hilarious. All right.
But see, here's the thing. If she says something, I mean, she's burned all of her credibility to the point where even if she says something that's true, we can't take it at face value. We're going to need someone to confirm that. The mime debate team isn't going to be the organization to do that because they're mimes. We don't know they're miming, so we won't know what they're saying. So I think Kellyanne Conway, even if she never says a true statement, has the inherent advantage here.
Well,
I'm going to flip a coin. The mimes thing, I feel like they have no advantage over Conway, and Conway has no advantage over them. So I feel like we are at an even split, so I'm going to flip a coin. Heads, it's the mimes. Here we go. Kellyanne Conway.
Okay.
Wow. I was going to go mimes, so.
Kellyanne Conway's next true statement. Look at that. A number one seed goes down.
We had to have one.
It has happened before. It's a real danger.
All right. So then we go to 8-9 after that, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Number 8 seed, flamenco guitarist Chimp, taking on number 9 seed, 1974 Winnebago.
Look, I love that Winnebago. I love everything from the stained coloring to the giant brown W.
I would like to drive across the countryside in that Winnebago. I'm going to go for the Winnebago.
Okay.
I need a minute, Zach. What are your thoughts?
Well, look, Flamenco Chimp, let's have a talk. The mariachi band was a great thing. A great, great thing that you just decided to skip out on, and now you're out on your own. Much like this Winnebago is out on its own, you know, across the countryside. You're trying to be something new and fresh, but I don't feel that you connect with the people the same way that the mariachi did. But a Winnebago is a vehicle of the people. I will go Winnebago.
Winnebago. Well,
I would have voted Winnebago. I feel like the chimp is too arrogant, going out on his own, thinking he can repeat history by himself.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, that defeats the whole principle of how they won last year.
We've seen it happen so many times.
He's pulling a Kevin Durant. It's just not kosher. You gotta go with the Winnebago.
Okay, so now from there we go to what?
512.
Okay.
Or 413, actually.
413. Okay, well, here we go. Well, the Chimp Conference right back at it again. Number 4 seed, Chimp Biker Gang, the Disciples of Darwin, taking on number 13 seed, Zach's Secret Hatred of Baseball.
I gotta go with Zach's Secret Hatred of Baseball, if only because I think Zach's Secret Hatred of Baseball versus Greg's not-so-secret hatred of soccer creates a real nice yin-yang thing going that I just get to observe every week. So I can't, in good consciousness, vote out one of the two aspects of that formula. So Zach's Secret Hatred of Baseball.
Could we see the Chimp Conference go out completely in the first round?
So this is Chimp Biker Gang, right?
Chimp Biker Gang, the Sons, or the Darwin's Disciples.
I like chimps in leather jackets on motorcycles more than I hate baseball. So,
okay.
Biker Gang chimps.
Andy?
I gotta go with the Biker Gang chimps. I feel like the Chimp Conference can't just go out like that. I feel like, you know, Zach's hatred of baseball is tangible and very, you know, it's got wheels. But I feel like, you know, these things literally have wheels. Like, they are a bunch of bikers. I feel like they carry forward the team concept that won the mariachi band. I feel like they kind of deserve that light a little bit more in the next round to see just what they're made of.
Yeah, see, I agree. And look, my secret hatred of baseball, it's very secret, because every year I want to like baseball. I go in, it's like, all right, I'm going to pay attention to the Angels. I'm going to pay attention to the league. It's going to be great. Baseball, way to spend the summer. And then eventually it's like, God, baseball, you're so boring. And,
you know,
I find something new to hate about it all the time. And it's like, I want to like you, baseball, but you won't let me.
When I decided to go with this as an entry, I thought when I would say it, you'd be like, no, I don't. But I knew that you had issues with baseball, but I had no idea you had this many issues with baseball. So I'm kind of proud of myself for tapping into your psyche like that without even realizing it.
No, I want to like baseball. Just, you know.
I understand. Yeah. I understand. Oh, okay, where are we here? So Chimp Biker Gang moves on.
Like said, Greg, deep down, you like soccer. You just can't bring yourself to do it.
Who, me?
Yeah, you.
Are you out of your fucking mind? The only thing I will say about soccer, I've said it a million times, I'll say it again. Goalies have to be the greatest athletes in the entire world, because they can stop 11 guys from kicking something the size of a basketball into the space the size of a double garage door. And they do it regularly to the point where there's rarely ever a goal scored. All right, what's my next matchup here? I'm lost.
5-12.
Number 5 seed, Detroit, taking on number 12 seed, couch on the front porch of a redneck's house.
See, I guarantee that there are some couches on the porch of many a Detroit home.
Oh, sure.
I gotta go Detroit. That's a strong entry. It's a very simple concept, very simple idea, but Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's entire city versus a couch.
I think there's a little Mike, will you want to throw your vote in there?
I was just going to go with Detroit. Detroit is the most depressing place I have ever laid eyes on. I've ever been in. I think it's Detroit.
Kind of interesting that Chimp Biker Gang is going to be taking on Detroit. There's kind of a symmetry to that, I think.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay, so 5-12 on to what, 6-11?
7-10.
7-10.
Yeah,
6-11.
Wait.
it's 6-11.
Okay.
6-11 to the bottom of the bracket.
No. I copied mine directly from an NCAA bracket.
So it's 6-11. Okay. We'll go 6-11. Number 6 seed, a real-life Sharknado, taking on number 11 seed, Warren Beatty's Confusion at the Oscars.
See, now I'm going to really get into the problem of real-life Sharknado. When you say real-life Sharknado, you immediately disqualify all of the made-up bullshit movie logic that makes a Sharknado work in the movie. A real-life Sharknado is just a tornado blowing around a bunch of dead sharks. That's
My problem with it is that in the movie Sharknado, like, the sharks get thrown around. Sure, maybe they survive in the Sharknado. I'll give you that conceit just so it can exist. But the sharks in the movie tend to, like, have laser precision in finding people. A real-life Sharknado is literally going to be throwing sharks around.
Which is still pretty dangerous. I mean, those sharks are pretty big.
Outside the water, though?
Well, I'm just saying, yeah, if you got hit with an 800-pound shark, it's going to fuck you up.
But it's not going to land, like, perfectly on your torso and bite you.
No, but it could bludgeon you to death by accident.
Nah, dude, come on. Warren Beatty's confused old man. Okay. He couldn't even like open the damn envelope correctly. I'm going Sharknado. I mean, even if it's just a tornado, it would still beat Warren Beatty. Much less a tornado that's full of dead sharks.
So wait, all right. Go ahead.
I guess I'm just putting those concerns out there for future rounds. I guess when it comes to this thing versus that thing, the tornado would take down Warren Beatty.
Yeah.
Mike?
But, you know, just so people can think about it in the future, a Sharknado would not exactly be as lethal in real life.
Okay.
I'm just saying I'm sticking with Warren Beatty as a protest vote.
Okay. That was 6-11, so 7-10.
3-14.
Number 3 seed, Mark Davis's 1997 Dodge minivan with VHS deck versus
stylish
a Russian dash cam.
Ooh.
How great would it be to put the dash cam in Mark Davis's van? Now we got something.
I'm going to go with Russian dash cam. I feel like the Russian dash cam has captured so much life and amazing moments and unusual, you know, things throughout the strange dystopia that is Russia. Whereas, you know, the minivan is just kind of creepy and gross and you know, probably just, I just sort of imagine just a bunch of trash in it, you know, just, I Russian dash cam. Count me in.
Mike.
I am going to have to go with the Russian dash cam. I mean, Russian dash cam just gave us, if nothing else, that meteor strike. And that was awesome.
So, yeah, it was. That was so cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Zach, you want to throw your vote in just for the hell of it?
You know, I was leaning towards the Davis van just for the hilariousness of it. And I could just visualize that very, very well. But I like the dash cam too.
Okay. That was what, 3-14. So where are we? 1-2-3. So we must have 7-10, right?
Yep.
Okay. Number 7 seed, Betty White as the Green Lantern, taking on number 10 seed, the Righteous Indignation of Keith Olbermann.
Oh, boy.
Both are unpleasant. I'm going to go with Olbermann. I really don't want to look at Betty White in latex or even think about it.
Yeah, and, like, I get Betty White. Like, I understand what she is, what she does. But I guess I've never gotten Betty White. Like, she's never been funny to me. She's just kind of an old sassy lady, and it's like, okay. I will go with Olbermann. I think he could talk down even a willpower ring wearing Betty White.
Okay, righteous saint. Mike, you want to throw yours in just for fun?
Yeah, Olbermann.
Okay, it's a sweep. And what's my last matchup here? Let's see.
215.
215. That's okay. Sorry. Oh, this is one of my favorites. The comedy duo of King Kong and Tommy Lee Jones, number two seed, taking on Wonder Sauna Hot Pants.
Well, I'm sorry, Greg, but yeah, Hot Pants. The King Kong, Tommy Lee thing, you know, it's humorous, but I you know, those Hot Pants, man. I want to see where they go. I'm just curious more than anything.
Okay.
Hot Pants.
I got to go. Yeah.
Look at that. The SCN on TV gets out of the first round for, I think, the first time.
That's a heritage conference, man. It's a heritage conference. Like, yeah. It always produces some surprises.
All right. Well, that is it for my region, so we'll go back over them again. Kellyanne Conway's next true statement, taking on a 1974 Winnebago. The biker chimp gang known as Darwin's Disciples, taking on Detroit. A real-life Sharknado taking on a Russian dash cam. Do you think that the dash cam would have an advantage because it would be able to see the Sharknado coming type of thing? The Righteous Indignation of Keith Olbermann taking on Sauna, or what were they called? Sauna Hot Pants?
Sauna Hot Pants, yeah.
Yeah. And there you have it. That is the Bernie Kosar knows what it means to be a Cleveland Brown region and your first round of the 2017 Glorious Tournament of Victory.
So just to clarify, by the way, because apparently I used a bad bracket for mine. Like, my rankings stay the same, the winners stay the same, but the matchups are going to be different in round two. Because apparently I used a wrong kind of bracket form. So we'll just kind of
leave them the way they are. They were good. Just don't worry about it.
All right.
Yeah, just leave them the way they are. We'll fix it. We'll fix it in the edit, as they say.
All right.
Okay, guys. So there we have it. The Glorious Tournament of Victory is underway. We are down.
I didn't see the votes, dude. Can't wait.
Yeah. Again, guys, if you're listening and you're on the CCSLC boards, you can discuss and tell us why you voted for who you voted for and all that, but the only votes that will count will be on the SurveyMonkey site. So that'll be up here in the next day or two, and we'll take it from there. Any final thoughts on the beginning of the 2017 Glorious Tournament of Glorious Tournament of Victory, gentlemen?
Vengeance. This is the I'm gunning for it. Gunning for it.
I think it's time that I reclaim the throne of the goddamn Batman's glorious opening forays into the tournament. Sacred Moose Lake of Flint Flon's got a strong shot, I think.
I think so, too. I will just say that this is a round of matchups that I think are pretty strong, pretty interesting, and it's going to be very interesting to see how they play out with the votes. You can follow us on Twitter at Basically Sports. You can go to our Tumblr page. That's tumblr.com/basicallysports. Spreaker, Stitcher, iTunes, and YouTube. And I think that's it. So we'll see you next week with results and analysis of the second round of the Glorious Tournament of Victory.